Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Klopp's got a cut, Barca cuts costs, and the South American naughtiness continues. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, the 7th of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidusha Hantaraja.
We're going to get to South America in a minute, where scraps continue. Scraps are plenty. But our own Jim Campbell has himself been involved in a scrap.
I've not been involved in a scrap.
Yeah, he has been involved in a scrap.
I have been involved in a little scrap.
My
little
eye scrap. Has swollen up for reasons that
because someone's
I guess
fist
only
connected
my
with
eye
it.
Understands. But I've not been in a scrap, actually. So, yeah. I mean, whoever this imaginary person I've been in a fight with is lucky.
You should see the
I've
other guy.
I've not been in a scrap with him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
technically,
no.
Given like how often people refer to you within the ramble as sickly. Are you not in a kind of constant fight with your own immune system?
Well,
I thought you were
going to
say
actually.
It's good looking, but it's, that's not the route you went.
Yeah. I mean, there is that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. People
it's a weird
fight.
Venn diagram. Yeah. Oh, that sickly hunk. But yeah, no, I've not been ill in ages, so maybe this is my body going, come on.
Yeah. Like, give us something.
Yeah, give us something. So I've just got a really big puffy eye.
Yeah, you're the sort of John Keats of the ramble. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I definitely understand that.
Yeah, anyway, yesterday it felt like the whole focus of the show was just a desire to get to Brazil and talk about South America.
Maybe that's what put my eye out.
Yeah.
The focus was too intense.
Yeah. So I feel like perhaps it's okay to just start right there today. What do you reckon, guys?
Yeah.
For as long as I'll let us stay, yeah.
Yeah, they say they've got other stuff going on, but I'm not sure that's why. Four Premier League players involved in the astonishing scenes on Sunday have now been released, but the Brazilian police have opened an inquiry investigating them for providing false documents to get into the country. It's just so unbelievable. As you said yesterday, like, their lives are televised. There could not be greater clarity on where the Premier League is based. That's the whole point. It's England's greatest export, isn't it? They even put the E into Premier League to make sure everyone knows about it.
Yeah, true. I don't really know where to start with all this.
Yeah.
Because as you say, my main takeaway was like, well, you know where they've come from.
Yeah.
As you pointed out. And as you say, everything has been televised. There are no grey areas. The idea that they forged documents is absurd, I think. And like, I'm kind of keen to see where this investigation goes beyond actually, you know, being able to say we are opening an investigation to be shown to be taking it seriously.
Mm.
Because I mean, without wanting to delve too much into cricket, there's a bit of like potential cricket in this in terms of, the Ashes of Australia later this year. There's obviously a big issue about it actually happening because, you know, Australians can't leave Australia.
Mm.
Australians from abroad can't go into Australia and then leave Australia. But suddenly, you know, 40 strong England group are going to come in there, potentially with journalists as well, and play out the series. And I can understand that side of it. But evidently there was no real complaint. Everything was ratified before they left the country, really, wasn't it? In terms of they had to get dispensation from their clubs.
Well, no, they didn't. This is the whole thing. So it sounds as though...
The Villa players did.
Right, Blessed Buendia, he didn't even end up playing.
No.
Do you think he was like, if I try really hard and show how keen I am...
If I show my willingness, yeah.
Everyone will be like, oh, well, he's here now.
Exactly, yeah. We'll play him instead of Messi.
Yes! That probably was the outcome he was expecting. Villa CEO Christian Perslow has just said, this mess will make clubs nervous to release players in future. But what I'm... Oh, and sorry, on the subject of the Spurs players, the idea is that no one actually gave them permission.
I love that. You don't see enough of that in adult life. Like, children's cartoons give you the impression that there will be a lot of, like, harebrained schemes once you're an adult.
Yeah.
And they've had a little go at one there, haven't they? It's like, ah, it'll be all right, we'll get in. It's fine. We'll get into Brazil, really hard hit by the pandemic. Like, we'll just trick our way in, it'll be fine.
It's the ask forgiveness rather than permission.
Yes.
Model,
yes.
Isn't it? Doesn't seem to have worked that
But, I mean,
well.
It is.
Did they not try and... Yeah, this is the other thing as well. I suppose the important thing, don't post on social media. Footballers love posting on social media when they're on private jets.
Yes. They can't help
so,
it.
So, well, no. I mean, that shows restraint, and footballers aren't known for restraint. So, you know, well done them.
But equally, I don't know that would have... If they hadn't posted the pictures on the jets, I don't know if that would make it less likely that people know where they are. The question you were saying yesterday was, they stopped the game in the 7th minute.
Yes.
The speculation was that because people wanted to get selfies or watch bits of it. But it's now being reported that they were stuck in traffic.
I mean, like... But that gives the impression that the Argentina players like landed in the stadium and like got straight off the plane to play the game. Like they had plenty of opportunities to do it,
right? Like a lot of Brazil, there's more helicopters based in Brazil apparently than anywhere else.
I don't think it's like 4 days bad though, is it?
I don't know.
Like they were there for a good while before the game started. So I mean, any explanation of why they had to do it on the pitch is just simply does not wash, does it? But I mean, every element of this is crazy. Even the players, kind of like the Tottenham players, thinking they'll be able to get away with it is mad as well. So it's a perfect storm
of absolute insanity. And there was a lot of Spurs players, but hey, what can you do? It just shows the unity. And it's because, have you heard all the wicked rumours about people not liking Nuno and all that stuff?
Really?
But the Sun, it's mainly in the Sun.
Oh, God, have we already got to that stage?
They don't like Nuno. That's why they had to go to play for Argentina.
That doesn't make any sense, does it? Like, just... I mean, it works as
it's
a sentence,
away.
But nothing past that.
Yeah. Also, like, the thing is, you don't actually spend, during an international break, you don't spend that much time with a manager.
No.
Because you're either playing for your country or you've got a decent amount of time off as well.
Mm.
So, that sounds like nonsense. There's also, I suppose, this thing of, like, we place upon, certainly overseas players, what they might feel about playing for their country. And obviously, you know, there is a strong British tradition of pulling out of, international games.
Mm.
And, there was that big thing, I think it was around the 90s when, early 2000s, when loads of Brazilians were playing in Europe. And so during the qualifiers, Brazil and, maybe Argentina to an extent, would just rely on the players that were playing in their domestic leagues, essentially, or nearby, yeah. And so now you're in a situation where travels that little bit easier for individual players, and they obviously want to play for Argentina.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, especially when you look at what happened over the summer and the profound effect that seemed to have, not just around Lionel Messi, but also
Martinez said himself, didn't he, that after they won the Copa America, they feel really, really together, and they essentially took the risk for the love of the shirt, and that's quite romantic and sweet, I suppose. You can see, I mean,
Yeah,
it's not dissimilar to England, isn't it? I suppose that feeling now must be very, very similar with Argentina.
Yeah, we
waited a while to win something too.
Yeah, we can't be like, we care so much about England now. No, you shouldn't care about that country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll be following the outcome of this Spurs bit of naughtiness in particular over the next weeks and months, I reckon. But in better, more like, community spirited news, sounds like. Did you see that Jurgen Klopp has picked up his first trophy of the season? And this is a personal trophy It's called a Friendship Award.
Yeah.
Which I think, bless, I think it's sponsored by like the British Embassy in Germany.
Yeah.
One of them. I'm not sure particularly what qualities he's demonstrated in order to show friendship, or indeed, I mean, that's not actually a word. I think it's a sort of amalgamation of
German for friend, but it isn't,
and
the shit part of a friendship. Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose it is a portmanteau, isn't it? But the languages are different.
But either way, it honours the relationship between Britain and Germany, and he says, and it gave us a chance to hear his story about interrailing. He went interrailing to England with his cousin at 18. The weather was bad. Even then, people offer you bed and breakfast for £5 a night. I don't know whereabouts that was. He says, I come from the back forest. It would have been the last thing for us to let a complete stranger sleep with us for money.
What's he implying there?
Yeah.
I mean, was that definitely a bed and breakfast? It sounds like you might have stumbled across a different sort of boarding house, shall we say.
Also, if he still thinks that's what bed and breakfast is, you know, there's still bed and breakfast around now. Does he walk around thinking, bloody hell, that brothel's got prime real estate? Just advertising outside.
Yeah. Whoa. They're bold, aren't they? Also love the weather was bad even then. Weather takes a long time to change, doesn't it?
Global warming though, isn't it? He's quite...
So what, he's pro-global warming, isn't he?
Yeah.
Liberal
other than that.
Yeah.
Just want a lovely holiday all the time. Get on with it.
Also, the way he said that is like chastised, like the weather should have grown up by now. Oh, come on.
Yes.
Yeah, it's this award is a weird one as well, isn't it? I feel it's a bit like best football podcaster who does shows on a Tuesday with a swollen eye. Like, it feels very much like it's been made up for him. Like, it's
so someone's
going to get the next one.
So someone could meet him. Like those officials running on, be like, well, he's quite cool. Yeah, it'd be great to meet him, wouldn't it?
Look, he said his experience of interrailing made him yearn for a life in England one day. And now he's achieved that.
I never knew Europeans interrailed the other way. I thought it was something
yeah,
unique
I know, right?
to them, yeah. What do you want to see over here?
Yeah, God.
But
bed and breakfast are great, yeah, don't get me wrong. But
although that said, apparently the trains are like shitter than they've ever been in this country, aren't they? People like yearn for the old railways. Apparently it was much better. I know we're talking about like the 80s, so it's probably not the case, but that's always thrown me. Apparently it was much easier to get around in the past.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's weird.
Is that a bit like saying, you know, it was better living in the 20th or in the 19th century?
It's probably like one of those things where it's like, we didn't even use the lock our front doors.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
We like shitting.
That's why you're taking all your shit.
Yeah, that sort of thing. It was nice. People were brave. I liked eating coal for breakfast.
Yeah. No one was ever sad. It was better than now.
Yeah. Speaking of holidays. Pep Guardiola. Oh, this is like a plug as well. Great. Simon Cooper in his new book about Barcelona has talked about Pep Guardiola just showing up. He's in New York. He's, you know, when he had his sabbatical to think more deeply about football and become even more intense. There's a bit in this book about there was like just a random kids game going on in New York. It was a referee short. Everyone's like, does anyone know the rules? And some bloke in a hat turns up and goes out and referees, and he kept stopping play to like guide the kids. And so these American parents, soccer moms, were just like, get on and let the kids play. And it turns out it was Pep Guardiola.
I mean, they cannot possibly fathom how mad that is, can they? Like, I don't think the context could ever be explained. It's brilliant. I love his sabbaticals. It's like when Superman flies into the sun to recharge for a bit. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah. I like that. Although, like, why is he hanging around football?
He doesn't know anything else, does he? That's the thing. He can only stay away for so long.
So his holiday is to go to, like, smaller football.
Yeah.
Well, smaller people
or
football.
Or just, like, hunt it in the wild.
Yeah, okay.
Just, like, leave the house and, like, find some football.
I thought a little bit about this when you went on holiday to Spain, when it was a walking holiday.
Yeah.
You basically went on holiday to commute.
Yeah.
And that might be the most amazing thing ever.
I'm not a big walker. It wasn't really like a busman's holiday, I don't think. I never carry rucksacks. Oh, I do quite often carry rucksacks. Okay, I've got nothing.
Yeah, but it feels a little bit like that. Because I was wondering, I mean, I can understand like if he was passing, but it was an indoor soccer tournament. You had to find out about it. You know, and you've got to drive everywhere in the US.
Yeah.
So he's got there, walked in. He's had to explain who he is. They're going to let some randomer sit on the side of a kids game.
Have you got a, what's it called, the thing you need to coach kids? question if you got a CBR.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever that is. Well, yeah. I mean,
he probably had to apply for one. He had to do all the forms.
And it's a bit different to, like, someone on a plane yelling, is there a doctor on this plane?
Yeah.
Or is there a referee here?
Well. Sort of. Are you qualified? Maybe. I wonder if he is a qualified referee. He probably is. He's got every base covered.
Yeah, I think so. Jim and I have interviewed Simon Cooper about this new book that we're just gently referencing here for a new episode of the Book Club, which is going to be out very soon. Sergio Aguero has been on about some of Barcelona's current cost-cutting measures as well, staying with the topic. I don't know if this is definitely the reason why, but he said he arrived an hour before training to see if he could go to the gym, but all of the lights were switched off.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting absurd, isn't it? I'm horrified that, like, they go to the gym before training.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
They go to the gym for like an hour,
yeah,
do like squats and deadlifts, and then they go and play football for 2 hours.
Just, yeah.
But is that not partly because of COVID regulations? Do we know that?
That you're not allowed in?
Yeah.
He's saying, you're supposed to be there half an hour before, and then you wanted to go half an hour earlier than that.
Well, I mean, presumably they would have been under those restrictions at City as well. Although maybe it's different in Spain, I don't know. But let's be honest. If it involves saving money, Barcelona are probably doing it right now.
Okay, but how much money does turning off some lights for half an hour actually save?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, not a lot, right? Even a day, having the lights off for a day, it's not going to... That's really the approach they're taking to trying to win back.
Every little helps.
Yeah.
Every little helps.
A billion euros is a lot, isn't it?
A billion euros is a lot. It's like that bloody Gwyneth Paltrow only used one piece of toilet roll sort of approach to cost cutting.
Yeah, but she's got a bit of a screw loose. We don't need to talk too much about Madame Jupe.
Is there some way that she can come in as like administrator?
Oh, yeah.
Help Barcelona save both money and also, you know, come up with new health ideas.
Did that really bad for you?
They did like a Netflix show about Goop, didn't they? Which is her mad company.
Is it maybe Goop or Joop?
I don't know.
Maybe it's Goop.
Are you thinking of GIF and GIF?
Maybe. Yes, yeah.
They should do like an all or nothing Goop style.
Kim Campbell.
Oh, gammy eye.
Right, we're going to give you a moment to rest your eye, I think. I think that's a good point. And then we're going to get back for, well, many things, including Pete's new jingle. So that's something to stick around for.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It It's transfer deadline day. Ashwood City are drifting under manager Sven-Göran Eriksson, and chief executive Patrick Nolan is willing to do whatever it takes to turn things round.
Oh, look, it's just for a season or two, you know. We get them really cheap, you know, 10% of what they're worth in some cases. And, I mean, the sponsors it would attract as well as the cachet.
Patrick Nolan, MBE, stop talking. This is a fucking Tevez and Mascherano player heist, pal.
In the award-winning football mockumentary, The Offensive, the thick of it meets the Premier League, and things are about to reach breaking point in the boardroom.
That's the rules, Woody.
Oh, so now we like the rules, do we?
Woody, you can't just move a piece and make up how to play.
Well, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
No, move that back.
Fucking get off. Don't touch my pieces. You're cheating.
What, you're cheating.
Cheating. That's an invasion of my pieces, that.
You're cheating.
Stop fingering my bishop. You don't know where he's been.
It's not... Oh.
Start your Ashwood City journey and listen to The Offensive wherever you get your podcasts.
The Offensive is a Stack production.
Always believe in your soul.
That's it. No, you're getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe it. Carlton, go.
It's beautiful. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Something else beautiful for your ears now.
If you've seen Vishnu Kebab Shop or Dean Smith up a tree, if your dad chinned a referee, send us an email, please. If you put Messi on a toon shirt, if you sold our tete cheese, if you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
So many Petes, it's terrifying.
It should end please, shouldn't it? To rhyme with whatever the with cheese.
Don't,
he doesn't want to say please.
He probably forgot he said cheese. Got to the end of that.
It sounds like a Christmas jingle, doesn't it?
A little
at the
bit.
Beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would
be in a kebab shop.
No, the jauntiness of the tune. I'm thinking more of the not the lyrics and not the lyrical stuff so much as the
just don't try and rationalise it too much. That way Madness lies.
Okay.
So Richard Young's been in touch. He says, after hearing the story of Wagner having his coconut product stolen by the Wolves captain, I felt compelled to tell you the story of when he came to my beloved Grimsby Town Football Club. As Jules mentioned, Wagner loves a cameo appearance. That was discovered by a Grimsby Town fan who requested Wagner to sing Clap Clap Fish, after which he did a motivational talk. The video was soon liked and shared amongst Mariners supporters. A then member of the Grimsby Town Board of Directors enjoyed the video so much that he paid for Wagner to attend the Mariners game against Tranmere in the National League and sing on the pitch at halftime. For said match, I was performing the role of the Mighty Mariner, the club's mascot, and was asked to escort Wagner to the centre circle for his performance. He was asked to deliver another club anthem, Sing When You're Fishing, as well as starting a chant which is essentially a series of claps followed by a loud shout of the word fish. When Wagner was escorted to the PA box, he immediately asked me if I would lead the chants because he didn't know the words. I agreed that they were rather complex. We somehow muddled through together to receive a mixed response of claps, groans and overall confusement. Afterwards, he made his way to the club bar where a punter politely stated, "You shit, Wagner!" Wagner then shouted back at the gentleman and promptly left the ground. He was later seen that evening at a wedding in a local social club. He had not been invited.
Oh,
it's a bit like Pep's tour of...
Yes, yeah.
Cities, but on a very, very different scale.
Is there a terrible singer in the building? Yes, over there.
Can you leave,
fish.
Please?
There's a lot going on in that.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought there was going to be like a nice end. I met him and he was lovely. No, he left immediately and he gate crashed someone's wedding.
It does sound. It sounds like he's just generally
quite
wandering
lonely.
Around, isn't it? Like he's not doesn't have anywhere to go. So it's like, I'll just crash a wedding tonight and see where that ends up.
Is it sad to crash a wedding? That sounds quite fun and.
Oh, no, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun when Owen Wilson and whatever his face, tall man from
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, when they do it, hijinks ensues.
I got a person.
You
what?
I got a person.
Were you going for a high five, though? I turned around, you just had your arm up. Was that because you knew who Vince Vaughn was? Jesus Christ.
You've only ever seen people do high fives. You've never actually been given or administered.
I don't want to leave you hanging. There you go.
Yeah.
Well done,
Kate.
Oh, you caught my gammy eye. Your eyes are weeping. Oh, no. That's exactly what you didn't want to happen, isn't it?
Oh, no.
I'm going to wrestle this back.
Please do.
As the sensible one. With an email from Steve Pringle.
Right.
Before the floodgates open, here is the definitive list of the top three TV game shows. Number one, Bullseye. Number two, Catchphrase. Number three, Supermarket Sweep. There you have it. No need for anyone else to write in.
Yeah.
Now, I have one... I mean, I have a lot of contention with a lot of this, but I have one specific one which I think could slot in quite high,
yeah.
But it depends whether it is regarded as a game show.
Tell us more.
Takeshi's Castle.
Ooh.
Because that's like an activity show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Ninja Warrior isn't a game show, is it?
I feel like it's quite a specific genre of TV program.
Yeah.
It's like a game show.
It's like Tough games, Mudder, though. But good.
Mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tough Mudder, but like not uni students.
Yeah.
I mean, Bullseye is a confusing one. You weren't aware of it, were you, Kate?
I'm not familiar with Bullseye.
If you're not familiar with it, it's a show from the 80s where contestants would play darts and then essentially win a speedboat, even though they live in like landlocked rural towns.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird.
So it's like buying someone a horse who lives in a flat.
That is your frame of reference, is it?
A lot like that.
That is your frame of reference. Buying someone, we can't buy them a horse, he lives in a flat.
I'm surprised you didn't say penthouse, but
she learned the word flat the other day, actually. Yeah.
What I would like is for Steve Pringle to tell us what his criteria are for making this decision.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this, I like his sort of decisiveness. I like that he's very clear on this, but I think you need a frame of reference in order for us to all get on board with that as a decision.
I mean, and also let us know. That's Bullseye Catchphrase Supermarket Suite. Sweep as Steve's top three there. Let us know what you think.
All right.
I have one last bit of correspondence, by the way. Sam Maroney is the name of a man who stopped me in a toilet yesterday to say he liked the ramble and he asked for a shout out. So I'm giving him a shout out.
Oh, that's nice. Which bit of the toilet was he stopping you in?
Just the hand washy bit. But he DM'd me on Instagram later. He was very drunk, but he was very nice. He DM'd me on Instagram later to apologise. And say that
for accosting you in the toilet.
Yeah, say that he liked the show. He said it, and then he said, "I was his favourite podcaster." And then he said, "Actually, that was a lie."
Oh well, if you're listening, what a roller coaster this must be! Imagine he's probably got the fear about it. Sam, this won't be helping, will it?
Yeah, Sam, I've held up my end of the bargain here, mate. So
and say you like Bish the best. Please. And if you're going to do that, show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. All right. People are talking about the fact that fat fans, in fact, people who don't listen to the Ramble in the UK probably will still find this conversation that we're about to have totally baffling, about the 3 p.m. blackout.
Yes.
So the idea, the concept is that you can't watch football in the UK at 3 o'clock on a Saturday because the theory, this was introduced in 1987, the theory was that if people could just watch lovely football with lovely famous teams like Manchester United at 3 o'clock in the comfort of their own homes, they wouldn't trot out and put on all their like warm clothes and go and stand on a freezing cold sideline to watch Oldham Athletic or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was the thinking. Obviously, during the pandemic, every bloody game of football in the whole history of the world was televised. And now we've returned to this situation where 3 p.m. is done. All you can do is pirate your content. Mm. And the reason it's being talked about now is because Cristiano Ronaldo is potentially going to make his debut against Newcastle on Saturday at 3, which means that unless you illegally stream, you won't be able to see it. What do you think of this, Jim?
I'm not sure about the logic behind whether fans would essentially stop going to support smaller teams or not. But I'm unsure either way. Do you know what I mean? Because I mean, not every fan that goes to see like a smaller team. Let's take Grimsby, for example, because they've come up already. Like, not everyone that goes and sees them will necessarily support them, right? They might be their sort of local second team. But if like they do support Man United or whatever and they're on at 3 o'clock, then maybe they won't go out. But like, that's not going to be the case for every game of the season, is it? Like, I wonder if that's just a kind of outdated paranoid thing and that actually it wouldn't be... It might affect some games here and there, but it wouldn't be so much that it would make a huge difference. But also, like, the football being constantly on in the pandemic was quite wearing, wasn't it? And I know you don't have to watch it, or most people don't. Obviously, it's a bit different
we
for us, but
do,
like,
but, yeah.
And so maybe that's why we don't need to judge it in that way. But it was just relentless, and it was too much. And you don't want too much of a good thing. And I'm sure it will be touched upon soon. But this stuff about biennial World Cups as well that keeps coming up, like nobody wants it. And it's I do like the less is more nature of the fact that like there is something sacred about those 3 o'clock games where you don't quite know what's going on and it's all a bit mysterious and it's a bit cool and you want to wait for match of the day. Like every now and then, I will try on a Saturday not to know what any of the results are.
How
and
on then it? That's impossible.
It's really hard. It is really difficult. But every now and then,
with that dog guarding you.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if you've got a busy Saturday where you're doing something else, just stay away from social media or whatever. But it's very hard to do. But if you manage it, match of the day is just the best thing. It is brilliant, and that's a nice thing. I don't really know how you get the data on this though.
No, nor do I. I was thinking about it and almost liking it to a gym. Like, you know, a gym makes money from, I suppose, we could apply this to sports teams, actually, not a gym. But, you know, when you go down to, say, from League One downwards, they make their most money, not necessarily from season tickets, but from people who just come through the door, you know, casual users, essentially.
And also drinks and food and stuff that they buy.
Yeah. So the thing I was saying for the gym is that, like, you know, people have a gym membership, but it's the people who go the least that actually make the gym money, if that makes sense. And it's the people who don't think ahead who buy a ticket on the day. For example, my local Isthmian League team, it's 20 quid to go and watch them. Which is, you think it's like quite pricey, you know, I've watched League One games for that money. But it's mainly about the going there thinking, oh, I'm quite fancy watching football and knowing that I'd have to pay that price. And I suppose with all those games at 3 p.m. anyway, would you stop doing that? I think I would, I wasn't planning on going to see them on the weekend, say, but Ronaldo's playing on TV, then I might. So I'm kind of with you. I don't really know fundamentally where I stand with it, but I can understand and I can appreciate that it doesn't need to be like 3 p.m. kickoffs don't need to be a thing that we watch. And I suppose
it's not like Man United have been banned from being on TV, is it? It's just one game.
Yeah.
This is the easy thing to forget. I do remember actually like making plans to watch a North London derby with a friend of mine who's a Spurs fan, and it wasn't on telly.
Yeah,
and we were both like
just
livid,
absolutely
like,
bamboozled.
What? Like,
I know, because you always assume it's gonna be. Yeah, true. I was also thinking when you were saying this, and maybe you guys disagree, I suppose I was categorising these as two very different things. Like the experience of watching a game of football on the telly and the idea of going to watch a small game of football in person with your friends and making a day of it is just such a, for me, those are two such different experiences.
I don't know if I'd even put
one instead of the other.
I definitely agree with that. This is probably really primitive of me, but, you know, I'd go and see a movie and I'd go and see a play and I would understand that the play I was seeing was of a lesser standard in terms of acting quality than the movie, but I suppose it's a different type because it's in person and it's a lot more immersive because you're there and you're involved with it. So, maybe there's something in that,
but we can't. No,
no, yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean,
Do you have like a weekend where you experiment where you're just like, oh, well, I mean, that's bonus games?
But that's what I think. Maybe we do it for a month and see what actually happens because you need a sample size.
It's hard
size,
to roll it back
you?
Again,
yeah.
though, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Well, I guess what will happen is the TV money will go up and the Premier League goes right and brilliant, great, more money, and then the lower league teams just end up suffering, even if they do take a hit. I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is the thing to remember in all this. Like the teams who it's for have no control over it.
Yes, quite. Yeah. And therefore, it is
doomed. The case. Constantly. Yeah, yeah. To wrestle it back to Manchester United again. Donny van der Beek is in. He's worried. He's worried about the arrival of Cristiano Ronaldo. His agent has been talking about it in. What was it called? Zigo Sport, my new favourite publication, I reckon.
His name is Guido Albers as well, which is fantastic.
So good. Bring it on. He says, Cristiano arrived on Friday, which we knew was bad news for us. But the funny thing he said was something about, I've lost the quote, sorry. We are not a Carabao Cup player. We are not a League Cup player or anything like that. We are a Premier League player and that's where Donny's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
No.
He's only played in 4 matches last season.
Yeah, and he's not started yet. Is he? I know we're only like a little way into the season, but it's such a conundrum, isn't it? He seems like, he does not seem like one of those players where he should just be rotting away. And I suppose it says a lot about United's transfer strategy.
Yeah, why didn't they let him go? Because he was lining up for Everton, according to this.
Solskjaer, you know, I mean, the rumours are all that he didn't actually want to sign him in the first place. But from Van der Beek's side, they're saying that Solskjaer has said, no, I do want you. You've improved so much in the last year and you are in my plans.
Okay.
But how true that is, we don't know. It might just be that he needed that squad place covered because they didn't think they'd get Ronaldo at the time.
It's quite hard to play a midfielder when you don't have a midfield, though.
It is, isn't it?
I would say that is quite the stumbling block.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel really bad for him. I think under a different manager in a different system, he could thrive, you know, as he did at Ajax. But, and, you know, he's shown that for the Netherlands as well. I don't really know. I think, I might get some pelters for this, but I think it's a good example of how United play in a positive sense, but also Solskjaer's tactical acumen in a negative sense, in that I don't think he could come up with a system with the players that we have that would suit Van der Beek. And I think that's sort of on Van der Beek for not being able to adapt, but also mainly on the fact that you sign a specific player who's filled specific facilitating roles in midfield, and then you want him to basically fight fires.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is a very dysfunctional midfield, isn't it? And it has been for a while. So
Fred is the ever-present. Fred.
Well, absolutely. And it seems interesting to me that he's not willing to. He's got this, you know, very talented player. The midfield's dysfunctional, and he's not really willing to experiment and see if he can fix some of the problems with this asset that he's got to hand.
We've talked about this in many different ways, and we will continue to talk about it in many ways, because it's also that concept of these like great players just rotting on the benches of big.
Oh
clubs.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Nassar Khelaifi, let's give him. Give him a whirl, shall we? Before we get out of here, he has made his first major speech as head of the European Clubs Association yesterday, and he didn't pull any punches. He says he wants to bring financial stability. This is PSG's Nassar Khelaifi, I should say. Yes, he says he wants to bring financial stability to European football as a matter of urgency, and new financial fair play regulations will be introduced to ensure a stable, sustainable, inclusive and competitive football pyramid. Although there was another quote where he said he didn't want financial fair play to be about competition.
I was going to say, was he laughing as he said all this?
He never laughs.
Just making it rain.
He's just a serious, serious businessman.
I think he was walking over the bodies of his enemies as he said this. Yeah. As, you know, people in Real Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus and Inter Milan garb lay strewn on the floor.
He called the guys that tried to start the European Super League fabulists and failures.
I mean,
just building some bridges there, old Nasser.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know. We've stripped those quotes of a bit of context, but but that we could chuck that into a Hollywood script of some, you know, evil genius plotting against the Avengers,
like,
couldn't we?
Absolutely, or like Henry VIII as he's starting to tip over into madness. Like, hubris is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the other thing again is about, I suppose, he's standing at the centre of football now, and as we've
discussed, never been more powerful.
So it's a little bit disconcerting, I guess. Although if he's saying all these things and believes them, then that's really good news.
But it's his version of all those things, isn't it?
He's got the Infinity Stones now, isn't he? Essentially,
yeah, exactly. Where we are. Yeah, he's just trying to find the right gauntlet or the right outfit for his gauntlet. Mm. Yeah.
Loosely related, Neymar's contract has been leaked by El Mundo, and they claim he has cost the club almost €500 million. Which is actually not dissimilar, I guess, to Messi at Barcelona. He apparently receives over €500,000 every month for being courteous, punctual, friendly and available to fans, and not being publicly critical of
It's just like, that is some bonus, isn't it? Like, surely you would accept so much less than that for just being polite.
You know, I thought of a good way he could be courteous to fans. He could just give that to fans.
Yeah.
I think that would be the most courtesy you could show, probably.
It's quite a hard fine to give someone, isn't it?
Yeah, courteous enough.
Like, yeah, exactly. You've not, because that's surely going to create division straight away. So the moment you don't,
and
let
what's
him
your
have
version
that,
of courtesy?
Well, quite
might be different. There might be different cultural norms depending on where you know what you like.
You sound like his agent. Well, you've got to pay him more to do that. He doesn't open doors.
That is where I have been away, and I do have some news for you guys.
But like, how do they negotiate that? And he's like, they're just across the table. You can't slag us off. It's like, what if I want to? No, please don't. Just don't slag us
just
off.
Just don't do it.
No, I'm gonna do it. Now that you said I can't, I want to do it even more now. He's half a million.
Yeah.
Fine.
Fair, I mean, it is.
What's it worth? What is it worth?
Again, it's Neymar's dad, isn't it, that negotiates all
this
stuff?
Oh, you love him. He's your favourite guy.
I wouldn't quite call him a favourite guy, but he's everything.
You're always going on about him. You love him.
He's everything Charlie Kane isn't, essentially, isn't he? Like, look at the deal he's getting him.
Yeah, it's
absurd. They should have laughed him away from the table with that.
It's a pretty good deal. Maybe Harry Kane's just not very good. And another vitally important thing to get to before we go, the broadcast of the Uganda-Mali match last night.
This is amazing.
I mean, go on, say it. Say it, no, read it, go on.
Okay. The broadcast of the Uganda-Mali match was obstructed by a bald man standing in front of the main camera. The main camera!
Only in it because he's bald. If he had hair, we wouldn't be talking about this, but he's bald.
Do you think so?
I reckon, yeah.
The main camera. They haven't got the capacity to get someone to move this
guy. People stand
on
cameras all the time. It's just because this man's bald.
It's aesthetically funnier for some reason.
Our alerts went off and we were like, bald man, camera, football, done.
Have you seen the picture? Well, I can't understand. He must be a very tall bald man as well, because his head is literally in the centre. You know, like if you're framing up to do an interview with the back of this guy's head, that's exactly where you would put him.
It's better to be tall and bald, though, isn't it?
Than
short and bald or balding.
I'm afraid, Vish, it's better to be tall than anything.
That's a fair point, yeah. To be fair, if he was short, he wouldn't have fucked up this game, Uganda-Mali.
Maybe he was so tall that everyone was too scared to just ask him to sit down, which is surely the obvious thing
to do. Yeah, what you can see was that he had a tattoo saying death on the left side of his face. I don't know that to be true. On that note, it's time to get out of here. On tomorrow's show, it's me, Luke and Andy in your ears. Say goodbye then, Vish.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye. I can't say it was nice to see Jim and not say it was nice to see you as well, Vish. I just forgot to tell you how nice it was.
Nice to see both of you as much as I could through my gouty eye. See you later.
Good luck at the doctor, Jim.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.